Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Reporters waiting around for him to finish. Hours after it was already done, he crosses the finish line because he had fell a few miles in. Bruised, battered, he comes across the finish line, and a reporter looks at him and says, "Why did you continue running after your injury?" And his reply, I have thought about for a lot of years. He said, "My country did not send me here to start this race. My country sent me here to finish this race." And Doug, people start a lot of different ways. Not every person in this room began the race the same way. Some people came to church for different reasons. Some people found Jesus through different circumstances. But it really doesn't matter how we start the race. What matters is how we finish the race. Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished it. I finished my course." And God didn't call us just to start, but he called us to finish. And to finish, there has to be endurance. To finish, there has to be strength. To finish, there has to be power. To finish, you have to have your mind made up. Because the enemy does everything he can to make you stop running. If you agree with that, say amen. Paul would say, "You did run well, but who did hinder you?" You were running well, but somebody hindered you. It's easy to get hindered when you don't have your eye on the prize. Amen. It's easy, he said, let's lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us. And if you don't know what beset means, it means to stop or to stand still. Now, picture the race and everybody's running and there's one person out there that is not moving forward. Lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us, and let's run this race with patience. What we read in Luke tonight, he says, "For which of you intending to build a tower?" First of all, we got to understand what a tower is. I looked up the definition of tower, and it is a fortified structure that reaches higher than other buildings. It's a fortified structure, and its purpose is for defense. In this instance, when we're talking about a tower, we're talking about building something that is fortified, and its purpose is for defense. The Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe." So by reading this, we got to realize, Josh, that God's calling us to build something that has defense to it. The reason we need to understand defense is because there is an enemy that has sent offense. There's an enemy that is after you. It is a foolish soldier that is unaware of the intention of his enemy. And the enemy in his attack, we must understand that we have to have a defense. So we should all be building a defense for our lives. This is where the world gets it wrong. When they look at the boundaries that the church has set, they think it's to stop us from going out, but the purpose of the boundary, listen, all things are lawful for me, but they're not expedient. The purpose of the boundary is to not stop me from getting out, it's to stop the enemy from getting in. So when the world looks and sees, when I say I can't go there and I can't do that, then they think that I'm bound. But I have this defense in place because I understand there's an enemy trying to destroy me. Let me give you an example. I was talking to a fella about this today, and some of you know this story, but if you don't, I went to work on a job, and my superintendent really liked me. He liked me really good. And the problem was he was an unbeliever. I was a believer. And when I went to work there, I believe God will give you favor with man. I really didn't know what I was doing. I was a red hat, didn't really know what was going on, but I knew how to work. And he looked at me one day and he said, after months of I walked into a straight day shift job, and I'm a red hat, and there were black hats on night shift, but he kept me right there. And one day he looked at me and he said, "Hey, man, run down to the bar with me this evening." And I said, "I don't go to bars." And he said, "Oh, you don't have to drink. Just come down and shoot some pool." I said, "I don't want to shoot pool with you." He said, "Just come down and hang out." I said, "I don't want to hang out with you." And he said, "Because it's at a bar." I said, "I don't go to bars. I don't drink. I don't go to bars." He said, "Well, if you don't come down to the bar tonight, I'm putting you on night shift." And I looked at him and I said, "So you promise if I come down, hang out with you, you'll leave me on day shift?" He said, "Yep, I sure will." I said, "Okay, put me on night shift." And he did. And that night, I'm standing out on this miner, and something speaks to me, and you tell me what this was. It said, "Go turn in your notice right now." And I didn't really have a job to go to. And as I'm standing down there, I feel urged again, "Go turn in your notice right now." So I marched myself up into the top. I walked in and I said, "Hey, man, this will be my last week." And the boss turned around and he said, "Nah, man, you're not leaving us, are you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm leaving. While I was in that cab talking, they hit methane, it ignited, and it exploded. And when I say it exploded, it exploded. I thought I was going to die because I couldn't breathe. The fire had burned up all the oxygen. My eyebrows were singed. My eyelashes were singed. I would say my hair was singed, but it wasn't. And, Doug, it was so hot that when I went to open the door, the handle on the door was so hot, it blistered my hand. And I couldn't breathe. And I walked outside, and I could smell my boots melting. It was melting. It was that hot. One guy jumps off the back of the miner. He shattered his heel. I don't know why he jumped. I just walked down the steps. But the whole time, I'm trying to catch my breath. I get halfway down the steps, and I hit fresh air. It was like coming up out of water. And I went, "I'm going to live." I said it out loud. "I'm going to live." And later on, that guy looked at me and said, "You almost died. If you would have went to the bar, that never would have happened." And I said, "Let me tell you what happened. There is a God that has so much grace. And I didn't have a job to go to. And I had kids. And I know that it was God that spoke to me and told me to get in that place. If you don't believe that, then I don't know if you know that God can speak at all, because that doesn't just happen. And if God hadn't spoke to me, guess what? You wouldn't be sitting here right now, because none of this would have happened. I would have been burnt." And I remember, Jeremy, I remember, because I called DJ and I said, "DJ, I just quit my job and I need something to do." And Lindsay was building her house, and I went up there and started doing all that work up there. And then another company called me, and it just all worked out really, 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 really well. Because God is gracious. Now, do you think God did that because I'm a great guy? No, I'm an idiot just like you are. But God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. Sometimes we don't feel like we're sufficient enough, but even in our insufficiency, God is sufficient. Can you say amen? You don't have to have it all together to have God's grace on your life. You don't have to walk in perfection to have God's grace on your life. You don't have to be A-plus in everything you do to have the grace of God on your life. But there is a God who is gracious, and because of his grace, it makes us sufficient. Can you say amen? He said, you're going to build this tower, you're going to build this defense, but you're going to have to see if you got enough sufficient, if you got enough sufficiency to finish it. Well, I want to serve notice to you tonight. You don't have enough to finish this race. You within yourself do not possess enough and cannot earn enough to run this race and finish it with the right sufficiency. Amen? Because we've tried it. Sufficient means being enough or adequate to meet a need or purpose. It implies having the necessary amount or quality to achieve a desired outcome or a fulfilled requirement. The word originates from Latin meaning supplying. There is a supply that we cannot manufacture. Listen to me, young people. I want you to listen to me right now. When you're young people just don't listen. You know how I know? Because I was young and I didn't listen. When I used to jump around and jump down from ladders, and there's like, man, stop doing that. I'm telling you, you better stop doing that. You better stop doing that. I was like, I got this. I ain't listening to you old guys. And I jumped. And now, you know what I do to my son? Man, you better stop jumping down from there. I'm telling you, you better stop jumping down from there, because it's going to get your knees. And before you know it, you're going to be walking around like this. But we think because in our youth, we've got enough strength to get it done, but not in this battle. Let me repeat that. Not in this battle. We're not sufficient enough in our own strength. Amen. We are actually very deficient when it comes to this battle. But raise the hands. I want you to confession. We need confession right now. Doug's already got his hand up. He already knows. Are there some areas in your life where you know you are deficient? I see some of y'all don't have your hands up. We need to talk to you and figure out how you got it all together. Let me tell you what happens when you understand your deficiency. The enemy understands your deficiency as well. If you don't think the enemy knows where to attack you, then you're not paying attention. Because he's watching you very, very, very closely. He knows your weakness. He knows your struggle. He knows all of your failure. He watches you and he knows where you are deficient. So when you feed into that deficiency and you start talking about your deficiency, then the enemy jumps in. And if you're not careful, that can turn into condemnation really, really quick. Amen. This is a good teaching, even if I am doing it. Because we get in that place where we say, man, I'm really struggling here. And the enemy's like, no, you're not just struggling. You're ultimately failing. And before you know it, you know who you're down? You're down. You have no confidence in your walk with God. Well, I come to preach to you tonight. He said, let the weak say I am strong. Look at the person beside you and say, I am strong. That was the weakest I am strong I have ever heard. I didn't say weakly say I am strong. I said, look at the person beside you and say, I am strong. That's a little bit better, but it's still really, really weak. Look at him again and say, I really am strong. Now, you said that because I told you to say that, but you don't really believe that yet. And you think somehow by waddling around in your or staying in your weakness that somehow that makes you humble, and it doesn't at all. Because he really did tell us, let the weak say I am strong. The only way the weak can say they are strong is to understand that their strength doesn't come from themselves, but it comes from a different place. Our sufficiency doesn't come from within, it comes from another place. Amen. Watch this, John 6 and 7. I'm almost done. Man, it's really quick. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. The five P's of success. Anybody know them? Prior, preparation, prevents, poor performance. Right? Prior preparation prevents poor performance. So if you're going to go out with 5,000 plus people out into the wilderness and you're going to have an all day, somebody should have thought about this. The problem was they weren't sufficient. Philip answered, said, we don't have enough. We don't have enough. This is what's so awesome about being a Christian. When you don't have enough, you got the one with you who is enough for anything. When you are deficient, he is sufficient. When you are weak, he's strong. When you're busted and disgusted, he still got everything that you need. See, you got to understand what we're walking in. I'm tired of the enemy moving in and trying to tear things apart because we don't understand who we are. I'm here to tell you, I've got a Jesus that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or even think. He's not just enough, he's more than enough. He's not just able, he's more than able. He's not just competent, he's not just a conqueror, he's more than a conqueror. I told him Sunday, if you weren't here, I don't even know what this thing was about, but it was talking about how you should walk, how men should walk. It was Father's Day, right? It's talking about how men should walk, and it said you should walk like you have a bunch of guys with you there to protect you. That's how you should walk. And I just pictured that. I couldn't imagine walking like that all the time. But you know what? When we walk into battle, we're walking into battle ways that we should not walk into battle. We're walking into battle with our head down, wondering what the outcome is going to be. Listen really close. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this really, really well. Ready? Every race you have to run to decide who the winner is. Not in Christianity. You already win the race before you even run it. I said, you've already won the race. Now you run it. You win it before you run it. Baseball player gets up, hits a home run. Why don't he just hit the run to the dugout? They will put the points on the board. As when the ball crosses, when it's over the fence, it's a point. But you know what he does? He runs around every base. You see, he's already scored the point, but he still has to run the bases. We've got people that don't understand that we've already scored and we're just running from a place of victory. As a matter of fact, it's not just a point. This game has already been decided and we are the winner. Some of you are struggling to get, I hope I can make it to first base. Keep running. This is great. You don't even have to bat. He's already bat for you. He's already got the point for you. You don't even have to swing. All you got to do is run the race. You got enough. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, two more verses. We're going to baptize a couple people. I'm going to let y'all go early because y'all look tired. Not that we are, listen to this. What's that say? Of who? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I think I'm allowed to say this. If I don't, edit it out, Shane, for the podcast. Edit it out. I was on a job one time, and on this particular job, every day the house filled up with the smell of marijuana. Every day. And I asked those guys, I said, y'all do that every day? They said, every day. And that one guy said, I don't think I could run trim if I wasn't high. I said, really? Been doing it that long? And I'm in there working, and they come out, and they say, hey, tile guy, we're going to go smoke a bowl. You want to join us? I said, no, I don't. I don't want to join you. And I heard them out there talking, and I heard one of them say to the other one, he said, hey, I'm not talking to the tile guy no more. And the other one said, why is that? He said, if he ain't going to smoke weed with us, I ain't going to talk to him. And I looked out there, and you know what? In my heart of hearts, I liked those guys. They were likable guys. They were fun to be around. No wonder. I looked out there, and I seen them out there passing it around, and they had to have it. They had to have it every day, every morning, every day at lunch. They had to have it. And I got to thinking about it, and I looked out there, Brandon, and I said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for him calling me out of a life of sin, I could be just as bound as they are bound. If it wasn't for the grace, the only thing that separated me from them was the grace of God. And let me tell you something, that grace is a huge difference from where I was to where I could be. And I want to take just a minute and say thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy that you showed me. We're not sufficient in ourselves. I don't get to pat myself on the back and say, way to go, me. Tracy showed me a picture the other day. Let me show you how flesh works. Tracy showed me a picture the other day that somebody had posted, and there were some comments under it. I think it was me and Daisy. There were some comments under it, and somebody said, hey, I need to come back over to church over there because I love to hear that boy preach. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they ain't came back yet, but anyway, yeah. I said, yeah, for 1 second. And then I said, no. This ain't about me. It's about him. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Did you hear that? I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not, we are not sufficient in ourselves. As a matter of fact, Josh, I have tried to mess my calling up so many times before, but God's grace stepped in through so many different ways. God put people in my life that would step in. God put roadblocks in my way that he would step in. God would call me back through his spirit. He would step in. My flesh tried to mess it up, but I am what I am by the grace of an almighty God, and I thank him for that grace because it is sufficient. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed, God, remove it. God, remove it. Come on, Josh, Aaron. Sorry, Aaron, you was gone a week and you got replaced. Come on, Josh. He said, God, take this thing from me. He prayed about it 3 times. And then he made this statement. He said, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said, you know what? I'm going to glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Man, if we really believe what I'm preaching, we'll fight our battles differently. I'll tell you how the day I knew I was getting old. We'd go on vacation, Jason and Robin and Jared, their son, would race me every single year. And I outran him every single year. Until the year I didn't. I'm gonna be honest, it bothered me. said, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Next year. Next year. Next year I got heavier and he stayed the same. And it was worse. I started blaming it on my age. And the next year, I'm not racing. I'm not even going out there. Go run. Who cares anyway? Man, sometimes when we put it all on our ability and we start letting ourselves down, it bothers us. Come on, somebody say amen. God, I thought I was strong enough. God, I thought we're fighting it from the wrong place. It's not God, I thought I was strong enough. It's God, I know you're strong enough. He's already hit it. The battle's already won. You ever heard somebody say, I know we won. We won. I read the back of the book. You ever heard that saying? I know we win. I read the back of the book. I'm thinking, what took you so long? I'm saying, I knew we won when he got up. When he got up on Resurrection Day, I knew we won. You can't stop that. His grace is sufficient. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know why you have to do it by the grace of God? So you don't get the glory. Paul needed Jesus to get through it. Because the abundance of revelation, he was given that thorn in the flesh so that he wouldn't be exalted, so he wouldn't be lifted up. He had something to keep him abased. Why? So that he would lean on Jesus. Why? So that he would communicate with Jesus. Some of us have got to learn, we got to go to Jesus first. Because even when you go the wrong way, if you don't believe you need God's grace, you might want to ask Noah. Grace saved his family. You might want to ask Moses when he's standing at the Red Sea, I need God's grace. That great leader, that great guy that God called, he needed God's grace. You might want to ask Jonah. You know, I was reading the story of Jonah, and it's way more intense than we give it credit for. The dude gets on a boat going the wrong way. God's called him to go somewhere. And the reason he didn't want to go to Nineveh anyway is because they were all Assyrians and they hated prophets. And history says that they would cut off their tongues if they came in speaking about any other god and behead them. That's what history says Assyrians did to prophets. So we give Jonah a bad rap. God says, go down to Nineveh. What he's asking him to do is, hey, will you go die for me? Jonah gets on a ship and goes in the opposite direction, heading 500 miles away. And this is a crazy story. A storm comes. And when the storm comes, he says, hey, throw me overboard. He tells them to throw him over. You know why? Because he's a type of Christ. He had to be willing to be cast over. And a great fish is there and it swallows him. And I hate to tell you, but it's not like what I used to color in Sunday school. There was a big whale and there was ribs and he's in there on a little raft with a fire built. Come on, did y'all color those pictures? Who drew that stuff? There's no raft in a belly of a whale and a fire. He's surrounded by seaweed. You know what? The whale was grace. The storm was grace. It was all grace. Every bit of it was grace. And I don't know how he knew this, but in that belly, surrounded by seaweed and acid that's eating him alive, they say that if you were in the belly of a whale and survived it for 3 days, your skin would be bleached to a bright white because you are being digested. And somehow in there, he said, I'm going to turn to Jerusalem. I'm going to turn toward your holy temple. I don't know how he knew which way to turn. Which way is the temple? But oh, the grace of God is sufficient. Spits him out on the ground. a three-day journey, he turns into one. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Assyrians worship Dagon. And I don't even know if you know who Dagon is, but he was the fish god. So imagine this. A prophet comes in there with bleached skin. Maybe his ears partly ate off. Something happened when this prophet spoke. They listened. You're going through a storm, you need God's grace. You're going the wrong way, you need God's grace. You got a calling, you need God's grace. If you're doing A-OK, you know what you need? God's grace. Let's sing a song. I'm done. Let's sing a song.